This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Vinny and Haney, two opposites attracted by a paycheck. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Total request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your song request plus for text line at 410-583-1057. Now, since we've hit 11 o'clock, get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday, that reveal coming up later in the show. Been talking about the Terps losing at the buzzer last night, 60-footer against Michigan State. We'll talk Ravens with Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner at the bottom of the hour. But let's talk some Major League Baseball. Joining us now, returning to the program, Bob Haney V. Serrato. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline from USA Today. Let's welcome in our buddy Gabe Lax. Gabe, how you feeling on this Total Request Thursday?
Oh, not bad at all. We're seems like spring training never ends, but things are getting more relevant, so that's good. Things are good.
All right, before we get to the American League East, of course, we reside here in the Charm City. Let's talk about that National League East. And, you know, we know about the power structure that's there. The Mets spend a ton of dough. The Braves are really good. Injury riddled last year, and then Philadelphia, the Nats are on the come. Who knows what's going on with Miami? But if we're rating divisions right now, Gabe, on February the 27th, where's the National League East fitting in your pecking order?
It's an excellent sort of point you bring up, because I've been thinking about this a lot. NL East, by far the most fascinating three-team shootout. The AL East, by far the best division, just because it goes five deep. I don't want to say it totally that you could throw a dart and figure out who wins, but the AL East is just so unrelenting, with the Yankees at the top, the young talent of the O's, the Red Sox finally seeming to care, and then the Rays getting their pitching back together. But the Mets, Braves, Phillies thing is going to be fascinating, and there's obviously a lot of smoke about the Mets, deservedly so, and it's really amazing what they did accomplish last year and what was supposed to be kind of a gap year. But I still kind of think the Phillies bring the most pitching certainty to the table. So it's, there's going to be two, maybe three 90-plus game winners in that division, and it's going to be an amazing shootout. But I think despite their playoff pratfall last year, I think the Phillies are going to kind of have that lasting power to be there in the end.
Gabe, in the National League West, we know the Dodgers, defending World Series champions. They've signed everybody and their grandmother this offseason, it seems. The Padres are talented. But Arizona, I mean, they barely missed the playoffs last year. Corbin Carroll has proven that he is for real. Now you get Corbin Burns to supplement that rotation. How dangerous are the Diamondbacks, as we're a month away from opening day here?
It's crazy in this day and age. They win more games than they did when they went to the World Series, I believe, and then they missed the playoffs. So they have that conviction that's carried over for the last two, 3 years, which is always a nice place to start from. And then, yeah, right now rolling about six deep in the rotation, and Corbin really gives them a guy that, you know, not to say that the other guys are volatile per se, but, you know, on paper it all looks great, but you, you never know if Eduardo Rodriguez might hit a speed bump, if, you know, Brandon Pfaadt might be a little volatile. To put him and Gallen at the top of the rotation, I mean, you guys saw just how reliable Burns was. Maybe a little bit of a hiccup in, I guess, it was August of last year, but beyond that, just a guy who will get you to the seventh inning, a guy who just keeps, you know, chucking that 97-mile-an-hour cutter up there and guys cannot hit it. So that sets a remarkable tone. If nothing else, you know, that signing is a difference maker in terms of giving the Dodgers something to think about. Because, you know, they on paper, you know, they look unbeatable. They probably are unbeatable. At the same time, you know, maybe funny things happen and they only land on 93 wins. That could still conceivably win the division, but, you know, the chance is less likely because the Diamondbacks are on the come and they, you know, just have that pitching depth that can definitely take it that distance. And we'll see about their hitting this year. There are obviously a lot of peaks and valleys last year, but still, you know, Corbin Carroll in his third year should be really good after something of a sophomore slump last year. So, yeah, that does make it very interesting. And the Padres have yet to throw in the towel. So, again, a four-deep division, which isn't bad with one punching bag. So, it's, you know, those guys have all given the Dodgers something to think about, even though it would be pretty surprising if they ended up not winning the division.
Yeah, talking about you Rockies, the punching bag. Stay in the National League, might as well finish off with the Central. Brewers win the division by 10 games. Now, in Cincinnati, De La Cruz is one of the great young talents, along with Gunnar and Bobby Witt at shortstop in Major League Baseball. But Terry Francona now takes over for David Bell as the skipper. We know there's a ton of young talent with the Reds. Don't expect Milwaukee to win by 10. Not that they're not the favorites to win the division, but how jumbled could things be in the NL Central, and what's the Francona factor perhaps with the Reds?
Yeah, it's fascinating because he is, you know, you kind of, I look at managers in three categories: difference makers and guys who are relatively neutral to sort of helpful, and then guys who might cost you a win or two because they're not that great at their jobs. Francona is the rare difference maker and in a significant sense, not only, you know, game acumen and management, but just what he does in a clubhouse for a team and keeping them steady the entire year. But here's who's going to make him look potentially really smart this year is Matt McClain. He's going to pair with De La Cruz up the middle. He missed almost all of last season with a shoulder injury. Looks really good early in camp. Has a lot of pop. Should play a really good second base. Yeah, the Orioles have a really good drafting theory. Draft all shortstops. And then it eventually sorts itself out. You know, McClain is a shortstop until De La Cruz came along and gives them a really strong look up the middle. That's a crapshoot in a good way. You know, usually the Centrals tend to trend in kind of a gross direction, but the Cubs are trying. You know, they got Kyle Tucker. The Cardinals are kicking and screaming with Nolan Arenado, but they still have him. They might mess around and win 85 games, even though they are quote-unquote resetting. So, yeah, it's finally a bit of intrigue in the Central, and then, you know, just seeing if the Brewers can continue with that magic after, you know, just you always lose a guy or two from Milwaukee, but they're always there. We'll see if they can kind of keep that machine going.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking baseball, video at Haney, 105.7 The Fan. A month from today, the season starts 2025. American League Central, Cleveland, they won the division last year. They made it to the ALCS. They're always low payroll, but still high win total. Kansas City, Detroit, Twins barely missed the playoffs. Disappointing for them. How do you see that division as Cleveland always crying broke, but yet here they are always clanging around in September and October?
It's pretty crazy that they, some of these things, you wonder where they're stuffing all this money because, you know, everybody gets central fund revenue, right? And, everybody has a local TV contract. I can never quite make heads or tails of it, but, I think the late run at the end of the year by the Tigers was legitimate. And I really love the fact they got Jack Flaherty back. I really thought he would sort of find his way to like into that 5-year $80 million realm. He was able to get a 2-year $35 million guarantee with an opt-out, but suddenly a really nice look at the top of the rotation with Tarik Skubal, the best pitcher in the game right now. Jackson Jobe, the top prospect, coming on strong. They have enough depth to kind of manage his innings load. And then, you know, the offense is really interesting. A lot of mixing and matching. And the Gleyber Torres ad really lengthens things a little bit and keeps a little bit of pressure off, the Kerry Carpenters and Matt Vierlings of the world. And, you know, A.J. Hinch was just so impressive pushing those buttons in the bullpen last year. So they I don't think they'll have to go bullpen games for 162 because that would be tough, but it was just insane what they were able to do the last 5 weeks of the season and into the postseason and knocking out his old team, the Astros. So I like the Tigers, and then I like the Royals. So I think I think Cleveland's, shall we say, lack of investment is going to come back and haunt them. They're going to land around 82 wins, and it's not going to be enough in what, a central division, kind of like the NL counterpart. That's not an embarrassment. There's some legitimate teams there. So it's should be pretty fascinating the way that breaks.
Hey, Gabe, can you see Boston, Tampa, or Toronto making a run in the East?
Absolutely. Tampa is so tricky. Once again, you know, they're always really hard to figure out, and they've been kind of down the last couple of years, but their pitching is so deep, and they are very excited about the way guys are coming back. Shane McClanahan already throwing 98, coming off his second Tommy John situation. He's their opening day starter. They were able to get guys like Ryan Pepiot and Taj Bradley. They were able to run them through their kind of routines last year. Didn't do so well, took their lumps. They should be better. Still about six guys to go to in that rotation and a pretty decent bullpen as well. I just don't think they can hit beyond Yandy Diaz and Caminero, who, if you're looking for a breakout guy, Junior Caminero might be your man this year. The biggest acquisition to me, the biggest, most important one, and, you know, I was kind of thinking whoever gets this guy is going to, quote-unquote, win the offseason, Garrett Crochet. And it's pretty big that Boston got him. I mean, they, you know, still have some holes, still haven't really been as aggressive as they used to be, but all of a sudden, you know, a pretty big threat. So, like, things can definitely break for them to win 88 or so games. And, the Yankees, I do like how they pivoted, but they have some holes. They have a big hole at third base. They have a rotation where you have a guy like Carlos Rodon, who's a good year, bad year kind of guy, both health and performance-wise. You know, is he going to be able to put together two solid years? Will the Bellingers and the Stantons and the Goldschmidt stay both healthy and viable? You know, the Yankees are solid and strong, but also there's a degree of volatility to how they, you know, things come out in the wash for them. So I give everybody in the division a legitimate shot to win it, but I kind of lean toward New York, Baltimore, Boston in that order with regard to, like, best chances to win enough games and win it.
Gabe Lax, USA Today, talking baseball. Gabe, appreciate the time. A month from today, opening day, Major League Baseball. Well, you know, we got the thing in Japan with the Dodgers, but you get the point. Gabe, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your spring/Cactus League, and we'll talk to you before opening day, hopefully.
All right. Thanks a lot, fellas.
There he is. New York, Baltimore, Boston. I don't think there's anything egregious about that. Most odds makers have New York and Baltimore as the top two teams in the American League, and Pecota has the Orioles actually winning the division. We'll come back, whip around what happened in the world of sports last night a lot, so stay tuned for that. And then we'll talk Ravens with Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner. The Combine going on in Indianapolis. Ravens looking for prospects, looking for help. They have 11 draft picks, so are they filling needs with those, or are they going to find some money to maybe sign some free agents?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny and Haney's Whip. Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Total Request Thursday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That all goes to the Plaza Sport text line. 410-583-1057, Bob Eddie Vizerato. Nolan McGraw, Terps lose last night, as we've talked about. 58-55, Trey Holloman, 60-footer at the buzzer. Bam! Drilled it, too. Good for him. I mean, great shot. Miraculous shot. Winning shot. Terps are bad. No, usually if Reese plays bad, Queen plays well, or Queen plays bad, Reese will play well, or somebody else outside of a starter will get it done. Only one starter played well. That was Rodney Rice. Michigan State had 10 different player score. I mean, it all played out the way Tom Izzo wanted it to play out.
No.
So congratulations to them. And as crappy as Maryland was for the most part, still took a 60-footer at the buzzer to beat them. We'll talk about that later in the show with Jeff Ermans from InsideMDSports.com. Terps next at Penn State Saturday at noon. Speaking of them, they lost last night to Indiana. 83-78. Also in the Big Ten, Ohio State 87-82 over USC. Big win for the Buckeyes, trying to build their resume a little stronger than it is. There was an upset in the top 25. It's Vanderbilt. Upset number 12, Texas A&M, 86-84. Locally, it was Bucknell 70-67 over Loyola. And Navy, the midshipmen, beat American U, upset American U, coached by Dwayne Simpkins, former Terp, 68-60. Capitals tonight hosting the St. Louis Blues down in D.C. OV 12 short of Alexander Ovechkin for the all-time goals record. But let's not forget, too, because Winnipeg, I think, won last night. But the Caps, not only are they have a record-breaking Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest player of all time kind of guy, now they've put together kind of a Stanley Cup-level team. And we talked about it yesterday. I mean, break the record, get it over with, now move on to what's happening in April and beyond.
Yeah, you're right. Winnipeg won last night, and they got 87 points. Caps have 84 for the number one overall seed. Otherwise, in the Metro, the Caps are still up 14 points. Now, St. Louis, they're coming in, you know, 4-4-2 over their last 10. They've won two in a row. They're not in the playoffs right now, but they're kind of in the hunt, you know. But they're struggling a little bit, you know. So it's a game that the Caps should win at home. You know, as long as they don't show up and play like they played the first two periods against Calgary the other night. If they continue to play like they played in the first period, they should be fine. And then they got Tampa, you know, on Saturday, which that'll be an interesting game because Tampa's won six in a row.
When's the trade deadline in the NHL?
Trade deadline is
the week March before the 15th, playoffs?
Something just about. And I think it's more like March 10th. And then they were saying on NHL radio, I sure wish that they would have put it back another 10 days. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, like right before the playoffs you want? Because there's so many teams, Bob, that are, you know, do we go for it or do we not go for it? Because in hockey, kind of like baseball, you've seen teams that just get in, like Arizona Diamondbacks, sure, that end up going.
Now, if the Caps were looking to add, where would they need some assistance here to maintain their advantage?
I don't know that, Bob. Their defense is outstanding. They've got a great six. Their goaltending's excellent. They've got forwards. They've got older forwards for depth. You know what? Who's going to be added is Ryan Leonard, who plays for BC, who was their number one pick a couple years ago. He's going to be added as soon as Boston College is done playing. Whether he gets more than six games and they put him on the playoff roster, that'll be determined. But they're good enough with what they got. Just stay healthy.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around here on this Total Request Thursday. NBA last night down in D.C., 129-121. It was Portland over the Wiz, but maybe the dunk of the year, certainly one of the five best, happened.
And I'm not sure what they were looking at. Outlet pass grabbed by Smart. Oh, Shaedon Sharpe cocked it back. A vicious right-hand hammer.
They got to quickly break. Oh, put the seatbelt on the kids. Shaedon Sharpe. One with the rim.
Rip City Sports on the call there. I mean, you couldn't even do that on the Nerf hoop. That thing was so impressive. If you missed the dunk, I highly recommend you YouTube it. His arm was down by his hip, and he came around, hammered it on the steel. Even the guy that got dunked on by the Wizards was like, damn, that was pretty impressive. But 36 points on top of it. He just didn't have a highlight reel. He had a hell of a game off the bench. Portland beats the Wiz. Bob Carrington, Baltimore for Washington. 8 points, eight assists, or eight rebounds, four assists. It was Indiana, 111-91. I believe that's a 91. Anyway, Toronto. Let's see, Tyrese Halliburton, 33 points, 3 boards, 11 assists for the Pacers. Emmanuel Quickley for Toronto. Baltimore, 18-2-6. OKC comes from a big 18 down to beat the Nets, 129-121. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 27 for the Thunder. Aaron Wiggins, University of Maryland, had 24 points as he's been on fire in the month of February. Miami, 131-109 over Atlanta. Tyler Hero, 24-2-10 for the Heat. Haywood Highsmith, Baltimore. Archbishop Curley at 14-7-5 for Miami. It was the Clippers, 122-117 over Chicago. James Harden at 30 for L.A. Kevin Huerter had 13 for the Bulls. Jalen Smith, concussion, sat that one out. Houston, 118-106 over the Spurs. Amen Thompson, he had 25. Bust out season for him. Cam Whitmore, Baltimore for the Houston team. No points in 5 minutes played there. This day in Maryland history real quick. 1985 down at NC State. Raleigh, the old Reynolds Coliseum. Maryland upset number 16, NC State 71-70. Adrian Branch had 23. Len Bias, 16. Keith Gatlin, who coached Aaron Wiggins in high school, at 13 for Maryland. 1988 at Wake, Terps beat Wake Forest 70-65. Keith Gatlin at 17. Derek Lewis, 14-12. Tony Massenberg and Rudy Archer, Baltimore, both had 10 points apiece as Bob Wade's Turtles made it to the NCAA tournament that year, and that was a big win on their way to getting to March Madness.
We'll come Friday, March 7th, 3 o'clock is the trade deadline. NHL trade deadline.
So that's next Friday.
Yep.
What time?
3 o'clock is the end.
All right. Who's a big ticket guy that could be on the move here?
Veteran guys. You know, more so like teams. Chicago be trying to trade a bunch of guys. Who else is going to be trying? You know, all the teams that are
sucking.
Yes.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk Ravens. Kyle Goon from the Baltimore Banner Combine happening in Indianapolis this weekend. Ravens have 11 picks. Eric DaCosta met with the media a couple of days ago. Sounded like he's keeping all 11. You believe it? You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning walking out of the lottery office than you do seeing boxing or regular TV anymore, especially this high profile of an event. But Baltimore versus Washington, Tank versus Roach. We'll talk about that one, as we said, tomorrow. But let's talk to Ravens joining us now from the Baltimore Banner. That was Rush, by the way. Total Request Thursday. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up later. He is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Kyle Goon. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How you feeling today?
Oh, I'm good. You know, it's a long night at the NFL Combine every night. It's kind of nuts. It's the league's mixing bowl, and this is actually my first combine, so I'm getting a taste for it. And you just gotta really, really get comfortable with 10 or 12 of your neighbors at any given moment.
Now, we heard Eric DaCosta a couple of days ago talking about the draft, 11 picks. And it sounded like, and you know, I don't want to read between lines, I'm not that smart, Kyle, that he plans on keeping every pick, 11 of them. But doesn't the law of averages say when you're expected to have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL that 11 draft picks making the team probably a long shot scenario? So are you buying that?
I mean, it's what the Ravens have done. I mean, I kind of agree with your thinking there. I don't know if it's the law of averages or something else in math class that I forgot, but right. I think, you know, if the Ravens do draft 11 players, as Eric suggested, you know, they're going to have to cut like four or five of them potentially. But I mean, you know, this is also a time where the Ravens are really starting to feel the squeeze of the salary cap of all their stars, including Lamar, including Roquan Smith, Marlon Humphrey, who, you know, are taking up a huge chunk of the salary. So basically, Eric views the draft picks as, I'm going to get as many shots of finding a guy who can play as I can. And so I think the Ravens do view that as a potential strength if they make all those picks.
Hey, Kyle, since it's your first combine, have you been to St. Elmo's yet?
I've not been to St. Elmo's yet. It's hard to get a reservation, and I'm not as much of a steak guy, but maybe I got to get in before the night ends.
Yeah, you got to go get the horseradish, the cocktail sauce and stuff. It'll blow you away. Now, Kyle, listening to Eric the other day, it sounded to me kind of like that a deal is really close to being done, if not done, with Ronnie Stanley. That's the way it sounded to me.
You know, I can't speak to that. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh certainly sounded like he thought Ronnie was coming back. And I believe said, I think the way it's looking, they're going to bring Ronnie back. You know, I'm kind of surprised to hear that based on their salary cap implications. You know, although Ronnie has been a career Raven, so, you know, maybe he kind of wants to finish his career here. Maybe he wants to finish his career playing with Lamar, but that's kind of what we're talking about. I mean, it's a weak market for his position, and he's one of the, you know, probably three best players at least at his position. But, it, you know, it is also true that, you know, the Ravens need him. They need protection for Lamar, and he played a really good season last year.
What do you think that they would take at 27? If all things went right, you know, I'm guessing, you know, like if Starks was there at safety, or maybe there was a lineman there too or something, one of those types guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can always use a help at line with Stanley and Mekari, you know, potentially leaving in free agency this year. Frankly, I think, you know, we've seen that they need some defensive end help. I mean, the pressure that the Eagles brought against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I think, was exceptional and kind of a marker of, hey, if you can bring pressure with four guys down, that's great. So the Ravens had great sack numbers last year, but they did not have great pass rush win rate,
right?
Which is usually more predictive of rushing the passer. And in that last playoff game, they didn't look so great up front. So I would expect that, and it's supposed to be a very deep defensive end class.
Now, Kyle, when you listen to Eric talk about Andrews, you know, when we listened to it, Bob and I and Nolan, we thought, yeah, he's definitely coming back. But when other people have written about it, they think he's going bye-bye. What was your opinion of what Eric said about Andrews?
Yeah, honestly, I don't read that much into it. I mean, he was asked a question about Mark, and, you know, frankly, Mark had a rough outing in his last game and had a couple drops. And I read that as Eric standing up for a guy who's done a lot in purple and black. I don't know if that was necessarily about Mark's future. I've interpreted it as Eric standing up for a guy that he helped draft, that he really likes a lot. And, you know, I don't really know what they're going to do. I mean, obviously, Mark is one of the bigger contracts we're talking about, and they could find some relief by moving him and, you know, potentially sign Isaiah Likely or Charlie Kohler to an extension. But I didn't take it as, all right, so long, Mark, we'll see you, or Mark's definitely staying. I didn't take it either way.
Now, since it's your first combine, what's your takeaway? What have you thought about the combine being there for the last, what have you been for, 3 or 4 days now?
Yeah, it's kind of a circus, huh? It's kind of a human circus. I mean, you know, the prospects have been great to talk to and very attentive. And but, you know, a lot of it is the mixing bowl. A lot of it is socializing, trying to meet people, you know, into the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, at the bar at the Marriott?
Yeah. So it's going. It's new to me. It's a lot to take in. I can't believe that you probably did this for years.
20 of them I went to.
Oh, man. But it's a lot. And then, you know, I'm sure the teams are all interviewing a bunch of guys, guy after guy after guy in the morning. So it's a marathon, and it's a physical trial.
Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Kyle, last thing for you. I know five Maryland guys at the combine. Dante Trader could possibly fit in maybe a day two or three draft pick at safety. Have you talked to any of the Maryland players? And obviously the home team's always number one when they're trying to, network a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I talked to Josh Phillips yesterday, and I mean, what an impressive young guy. I mean, defensive tackle, you know, projected to play inside, about 6'3", 320. And I have to say, when he was standing there in front of us, I was like, man, this guy looks a lot like Nnamdi Madubuike, just in terms of his frame, his size. You look on the tape, I mean, he's expected to be the first Maryland guy off the board. And I just thought his answers to the media, at least, were really impressive, very straightforward, very well thought out. You know, and I'm really looking forward to seeing where he goes. I think he might have a little more positional flexibility than others think. And then, you know, there's a guy that's close to my heart. I wrote about him in December, Rayon Lane from Navy. You know, and I don't know if he's going to be drafted. I mean, I think he's potentially going to the Marines. But you know, he's a guy from Gilman, fought his way up, basically a no-star type recruit, and was a great player for Navy at safety this past year. So kind of a hometown favorite, hoping for the best for him.
Kyle Goon, Baltimore Banner. Kyle, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your weekend in Indianapolis. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me.
There's Kyle, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Come back, reset for you. Take a trip through the funhouse. Donald McGraw. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell. Where's the late week money? Hopefully counting it at 12:15. And then we'll talk about last night's Maryland loss with Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. And look ahead to the Penn State game coming up Saturday at noon. A game you can hear on The Fan. Eric DaCosta, as they met with the media a couple of days ago at the Combine, and I don't think it's a pressing need, but one that needs to be, you know, monitored. Backup quarterback.
No doubt.
I mean, Josh Allen, be nice to get him. Josh Johnson doing TV commercials, saw that. But, you know, Father Time's catching up to this guy.
Yeah.
And we've seen, well, all teams know, you lose your starter, and you got some slappy coming in. Team changes dramatically, but there's reasons that they're backup quarterbacks in the first place.
Yeah, and just because of, you know, cap reasons, Bob, I expect them to draft a guy because that's cheap labor. You know, I don't think they can, because if you go get a veteran guy, I mean, the type of veteran guy you would want, it'd probably be a guy, you know, $5 million or something, and they don't have that kind of money to give to a backup.
What do you think, Aaron Nolan, backup QB?
Oh, definitely a need. I was going to ask, what's he doing commercials for? Metamucil?
It was
Royal Farms?
No. I mean, apparently there might be a vacancy there. I can't remember what it was, but Josh Johnson was doing TV commercials about changing multiple times, and I apologize. Oh, okay. I will Googleize it during the break.
Well, hey, good for him. Good for him.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt.
Can you imagine the money that he's made? Even though it's vet minimum, I mean, he's played like 20 years.
Yeah, he's bounced around a little bit, and, you know, to earn an honest living doing what he's done, he should be commended for that. Yeah. How's that sound?
I mean, he's got to be up there with players who have played for the most different teams. And then you throw in, what, he'd spent some time in the Canadian Football League?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think the spring football, not the XFL, but maybe something similar a couple of years ago. I mean, he'll play
straight talk wireless.
Oh,
so there you go. Josh Johnson, good for you. But the Ravens looking to get younger and more effective in that area. Nolan, any commentary for the people before we get to the funhouse?
Well, now that I do look it up, he is the record holder. He's played for the most NFL teams, 14 different NFL teams.
Wow.
I don't know if anyone will ever come close to him in that regard.
But backup quarterback, to the point, do they draft? How 11 picks? Where do you go? I mean, what was last year? Leary was, what, sixth-round draft pick?
It was a waste.
Right. Well, if they're using all 11, then by all means, I mean, take two. Take two, I don't know. Let's figure this out. One of them's going to stick.
Yeah. I mean, if you're drafting 11 picks, you know, and you figure we got best roster in the NFL, maybe six can make our team. So what you're hoping is you're betting on the odds. You know, out of 11, you know, six make it. You know, because if let's just say we traded all those and we got six, then we're saying, oh, you know, three make it. You know, so, I mean, they're betting on the odds is what they're doing.
Any other chance that you don't really see this often, but not just trade back, but trade for next year?
That happens a lot when the draft is not deep.
Oh, so we get to the later rounds.
And trade picks for next year.
Yeah,
you know, I'll give you my fifth and sixth for your fourth or fifth next year, something like, you know.
Well, how many are projected to go in the first round? Let's start there. With Sanders, Ward, that's it?
Maybe Dart. Maybe Dart.
And then you got McCord, Milroe, Gabriel, Will Howard, the kid from Louisville, Ewers from Texas, Riley Leonard. I mean, are they maybe third-day guys, we're assuming?
I would think they'll probably all be third-day guys.
But they always go earlier. I mean, you heard like the Cowboys are looking for a new backup, a young quarterback to be a backup instead of Cooper Rush. And they've had the problem the last couple of years. Well, anytime we thought we were going to be in position to take one, they're already gone. Everyone panic, you know, drafts them because they go so early.
Well, it all depends on, you know, if you think that he is a possible guy that you can develop into a one, then you may take him earlier. Because what happens a lot is like if it's just a backup, you know, you're sitting there in the draft and you get to, you know, maybe we'll look at a quarterback here, and then, you know, there's another position that, oh, we didn't think this guy was going to be here this late, and we can get a quarterback later. You know, the quarterback always gets pushed back, you know, and we'll see if that happens. And that could happen with the Ravens.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We have time for a fun house, or you want to wait till next hour?
We'll wait, but I do have good news as it pertains to the Orioles.
Yeah.
Don't get carried away. No signing. Felix Bautista's live BP today. He was throwing. Threw about 25 pitches to both Heston Kjerstad and Gary Sanchez. Three strikeouts in there. Now, Kjerstad did pick up a couple hits off him. Sanchez didn't get anything. But again, 25 total pitches. Let's see here. Eight total at-bats. So not too shabby. Looked like himself.
Well, that's good. Good to see. And I don't know if the back-to-back saves will be coming anytime soon or opportunities we talked about yesterday. But here's something to keep an eye on. Rakabaka wrote about it this morning. Westberg's not in the lineup. He hadn't been in the lineup since Saturday.
Hmm.
What's up with Westy?
Yeah, started, got replaced by Mayo, right? So
yeah, he was one for two and haven't seen him since. Not to read too much into it, but what was that, 5 days ago? Why no Westy? It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll get to the funhouse around 12:45. And coming up next, news from the Nest. We'll count that late week money, hopefully at 12:15. Talk about the many sports subjects as well. And Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Terps lose at a 60-foot buzzer beater at home. Now it's off to Penn State. They haven't won in almost a decade. So I'm assuming they'll be ready to rock and roll. And their number one recruit for the class of 26 football said, I'm shutting down recruiting. We buying that?